This is a ceremony for the first initiation of five new bhaktas, bhaktins, spirit souls, being connected to the path of Krishna consciousness. Initiation is a procedure which is practiced everywhere in so many religious organizations and so many institutions. We have baptism, we have bar mitzvah, we have even the Hell's Angels have their initiation ceremony. It's a little Thomasic, but you have to get initiated into the club. One of the rituals was that all the club members pass urine all over your jeans, and you have to wear them for 1 year without washing them. So there are different kinds of initiation. This is a little bit more elevated than that. As we chanted the verse, whether one is a Hell's Angel or not a Hell's Angel, one can remember the low side, Lord Krishna, and purify his life. It is explained, Bahovata Swapachato Garyan Yashri Bhagre Bhartate Namatubhyam. Te pusta puste juru husashunaraya brahmanuchun nama pranati yete. Even someone who was formerly a swapach, or a dog eater, which is generally considered to be a relatively low class person. Such a person, if they give up their low class activities and they take to the practice of bhakti yoga by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then they can attain a platform higher than a person can attain by going through ritualistic ceremonies, etc. Chanting Hare Krishna is not a ritualistic ceremony. It is a transcendental process of purification. In the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, first initiation means that the spiritual master takes the karma, the purva karma, the past sinful reactions of the disciple right from the very beginning. And that is a direct quote from Srila Prabhupada. In some other organizations, first initiation, people are getting cheated because they're thinking that it is the same initiation as they have always heard about in ISKCON. And the people of the other organization have never accepted it in that way, and they give such initiation very cheaply. Practically, we heard of one lady who was initiated, and after she got up, she didn't even know that she had been initiated. And in fact, she didn't even know the name of her guru. But she was told later that now you're his disciple, and this is your name, and you're initiated. There was no testing period. There was no pariksha. The process is, first we receive siksha, instruction, then there is pariksha, or test, and then there is diksha, or formal acceptance into the tradition, into the sampradaya, into the community of devotees. So, in ISKCON, of course, initially for getting started, Prabhupada was fairly lenient, but that was at a time when there were no Vaishnavas. It was not for getting started in building his fan club in building his supply of facility providers. One does not accept disciples so that he can receive benefits from them for his sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada was simply trying to get Krishna consciousness started in the Western world so that it would gain its own momentum, and gradually the standards were increased, and Prabhupada came up to the point where everybody knew what initiation was, and people could choose to come to that standard or not. And if they didn't want to come to that standard, they were welcome to be devotees, but they just wouldn't get initiation. They could be devotees on a second platform, which is also, there's no problem with that. If someone doesn't want to pay the price for initiation, they can still be a devotee. Anyone who chants Hare Krishna is sura, is a devotee, and they're worthy of our respect. Anyone who's chanting. Someone who takes initiation, who follows the four regulative principles, and who is practicing sadhana bhakti, is worthy of more respect. And, of course, all the way up the line. So, we also understand that we are receiving this knowledge through disciplic succession. So the disciplic succession must go on so that future generations can also receive the same knowledge. And most important is that we should not change anything. We are requested to chant a certain minimum number of rounds, and we are requested to follow the four regulative principles, and we are requested to engage in worshiping the deity in opening temples. One of the principles of spreading Krishna consciousness is to open temples so that people can come and associate with the devotees and worship the deity. If we just have a community of householders raising their families and practicing Krishna consciousness in their home, neither is that very glorious, nor will it be very effective, because people need to identify devotees. And if devotees are wearing blue jeans and having long hair and working in jobs and chanting in private, no Harinam Sankirtan, then people will not be able to find devotees. They will be, even as it is in our preaching in throughout the world, we have so many examples of people who read Prabhupada's books and looked to try to find devotees for a couple of years, and they couldn't even find devotees. So what to speak if we give up the temples, we give up the Harinam Sankirtan and all of the other things. These things are part of Lord Chaitanya's movement, and they're part of initiation into ISKCON. ISKCON is a very special institution. It is an extension of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. It is an instrument of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And therefore, we are receiving special benediction from Lord Chaitanya. And therefore, Lord Krishna is very pleased. Nachatasman nuseshu kaschime priya kritamaha. Krishna is very pleased with those devotees who are engaging their lives in preaching work. So, initiation means to understand also what we are taking part in. Everybody should walk into Krishna consciousness with their eyes open. They should know exactly, there should not be nothing ambiguous or something that you learn later after you were initiated and you didn't realize the commitment that you were being asked to make. It's very sober. And if you are going to be successful, then you should make that commitment before you take initiation. Initiation is a formality. You've already committed yourself to Lord Chaitanya's mission. You've already committed yourself to Srila Prabhupada's teachings of how to spread Lord Chaitanya's mission. You already know what Srila Prabhupada means, what Prabhupada's ISKCON is. There's no confusion. And you should be already committed to your spiritual master. Then you're adhikari. Then you're eligible for initiation. I'll just read a small part here. How to discharge devotional service. This is from Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Devotion. Or actually, this is a summary study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Sri Rupa Goswami states that his elder brother Sanatan Goswami has compiled Hari Bhakti Vilas for the guidance of the Vaishnavas. And therein he has mentioned many rules and regulations to be followed by the Vaishnavas. So, yam niyam, following rules and regulations, sadhana, vaidhi bhakti, that is the process. We all have to go through the process of vaidhi bhakti. And there's no jumping over. There's no, you can't make the exalted stage of Krishna consciousness cheap by imagining that you're on that platform. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. But we can purify ourselves by taking to the process the rules and regulations. Gradually, as we become purified, it will become more spontaneous. We do want to practice Raga Nuga Bhakti, spontaneous devotional service, following in the footsteps of a resident of Vrindavan. But that is an internal practice, it is a very advanced practice, and it will come of its own accord. We can read about it, learn about it, but first we should read about and learn about and practice the beginning process. We should get free from the bodily conception of life before we think about something else. Some of them are very important and prominent, and Srila Rupa Goswami will now mention these very important items for our benefit. The purpose of this statement is that Srila Rupa Goswami proposes to mention only basic principles and not details. For example, a basic principle is that one has to accept a spiritual master. Exactly how one follows the instructions of a spiritual master is considered a detail. For example, if one is following the instruction of his spiritual master, and that instruction is different from the instructions of another spiritual master, this is called detailed information. But the basic principle of acceptance of a spiritual master is good everywhere, although the details may be different. Srila Rupa Goswami does not wish to enter into the details here, but he wants to place before us only the principles. He mentions the basic principles as follows. Accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. That's number one. Number two, becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. Three, obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. Four, following the footsteps of the great acharyas or teachers under the direction of the spiritual master. Inquiring from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. Here we see that there's a great, these are important principles on how to discharge devotional service. And in every way, there's a strong indication that we follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas while consulting with our living spiritual master. We have to see through the eyes of Shastra, We have to see through the eyes of the previous acharyas, and we have to see through the eyes of our spiritual master. Being prepared to give up anything material for the satisfaction of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. This means that when we are engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, we must be prepared to give up something which we may not like to give up. And we also have to accept something which we may not like to accept. So there are four regulative principles that every disciple must follow. No intoxication, no sex, no meat eating, and no gambling. Eating only Krishna prasadam. Chanting 16 rounds. These may be troublesome as long as we're not feeling spontaneous attachment. But that's part of our cure. When you go to the doctor and you've got some disease, he doesn't say, oh, what are the things that you like to eat? So I can tell you all the nice, tasty things you can eat. No, he may tell you, you have to give up this, you have to give up that, and he may give you some medicine that is very bitter also. But if you want to get cured, then you have to follow. There's no escape. It's up to you. Whatever priority you give to Krishna and his guidance to you, that much benefit you'll get. You determine the result. It's up to you. Krishna gives you the formula. Krishna gives you the facility. Krishna gives you the association. Krishna gives you his mercy, the opportunity, everything Krishna gives you. All you have to do is decide whether you want to take it or not. Even if you just sincerely decide that I want to take it, then Krishna will help you take it also. But the desire must be there in your heart. I don't want to come back to this material world again. I don't want to have another birth in the material world. I don't want to go through the same miseries of material existence. I want to be free. I want to go back to home, back to Godhead. So we have to give up what is not beneficial and accept that which will help us. Residing in a sacred place of pilgrimage like Dwarka or Vrindavan, accepting only what is necessary or dealing with the material world only as far as necessary. We haven't gone to the mountains. It might be easier if we go to the mountains. It might be easier if we all went to Vrindavan. It might be easier if we all, live somewhere in the country. Our mission is a preaching mission. So we take the trouble to live in the city. But even though we're living in the city, we should realize we don't hate the persons. We love the people. That's why we take the trouble to live in overcrowded, congested, polluted city environments. It's a problem. Once we've renounced the world, it would be easy to go to some country ashram where there are beautiful streams and waterfalls and flowers and swans and, But that's not our mission. We're followers of Lord Chaitanya and we're preachers. And we're sacrificing our lives for preaching. When we're old, then we can go to the farms where there are cows grazing and where there are birds chirping and waterfalls and clean water and clean air and all that good stuff. And we can go there for summer camps and things like that. And some householders who are actually interested in farming the land and in preaching from those places, they can also go there. But in general, there has to be devotees who are dedicated on the front line to preaching and saving souls by giving them Krishna consciousness. So, observing the fasting day in Ekadasi and 10 worshiping the sacred trees like the banyan trees. These 10 items are preliminary necessities for beginning the discharge of devotional service and regular principles. So initiation is, it's part of the process, and we You have to take initiation. It can be a very nice experience. You can make very quick advancement, but there are a few other rules that we have to follow. Bahu janma kari yari shravana kirtana kabutana bhai krishna hari prema dana. One can chant Hare Krishna for a long time without making very much advancement if he breaks the 10 offenses, or if he makes the 10 offenses, if he doesn't avoid the 10 offenses to the chanting of the holy name. The first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to the propagation of the holy name of the Lord. Devotees should try to be nice people. Common sense. There's no... Even if you're right about somebody's problem, it's not going to help you. It's not going to help anyone else by blaspheming those people or making propaganda or politics against them. If there's some problem, if you see some mistake, you write it down, you submit it to the proper authority and leave it up to them to take care of it. But if maybe you have to get it out of your mind. Maybe you shouldn't let it sit in your mind, thinking bad about someone. So get it out of your mind. Put it on paper. Then analyze it. How good are you at avoiding the same problem? Have you ever had difficulty? Analyze it. And then submit it to the, if you feel that it's very necessary, it's going to make a difference in the ashram or the temple or the preaching or the community, then submit it to the right person who knows how to deal with it in the right way. But let's not fight with each other. Let's not create internal disturbance. We have enough work to do to deal with the non-devotees who are naturally inclined to attack us for no reason at all. Just like a snake is naturally inclined to strike. Just like a cat is naturally inclined to be envious. So why should we unnecessarily speak badly of others? Try to keep good thoughts in your mind. Try to think of everybody as... Try to find out some good in people. Look at everybody and see, oh, that person is... They're the best, cleaner of pots in the whole temple. Or something. Find out something that they're good at. And glorify them for that. It'll be better for you. You will be benefiting by seeing people in a positive way. There may be somebody whose job it is to find faults, but if it's not your job, then don't do it. Especially preachers. Don't criticize those who are actively engaged in preaching. To consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu. Sometimes the atheistic class of men take it that any demigod is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, but one who is a devotee knows that no demigod, however great he may be, is independently as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, someone thinks that he can chant Kali, Kali, or Durga, Durga, and it's the same as Hare Krishna, that is the greatest offense. We are, and we can tell people this, because there's a misconception about Hindu religion or Vaishnava religion or whatever, that we are pantheists, that we worship many gods. We don't. There's only one supreme, eternal being, Nityam Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. And we're very much surrendered to the one supreme God, and we chant his name only knowing that it will give us liberation. Krishna is known as Mukunda, and he gives us liberation, and no other demigod can give us. They can give us other benefits, but they can't give you complete freedom. 3, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. So the order of the spiritual master is to avoid the 10 offenses. So don't disobey the orders of the spiritual master. His orders are to chant 16 rounds, follow the 4 regulative principles, associate with Vaishnavas, take Krishna prasadam, engage in sadhana bhakti. It's a very circular kind of thing. So, it's quite straightforward. To blaspheme the Vedic literature, in pursuance of the Vedic version, this is our last resort. Everything is centered around the scripture. We may have doubts about the previous acharyas. We may have doubts about the present devotees. But the scriptures are the only thing that is very concrete. It's right there in black and white. So if we don't have faith in the scripture, my understanding may not be complete. Therefore, at this time, I cannot understand the instruction in the scripture. But if we start to tear down the scripture, that it's relative, it's not really important, somebody made a mistake somewhere, then you might as well give up the whole business. Because unless you have some reference point, you can't measure anything in the world. Unless you know what 1 inch is, you cannot measure how big a foot is. You can't know how big a yard is. Unless you've said that this much, 2.5 centimeters is an inch. Then you don't know anything. You have to have a reference point. And our reference point, we have agreed that the best possible reference point is the scriptures, the only thing that is the closest thing that we can trust and put our faith in. So be careful not to minimize the importance of the scriptures. We may have to discuss amongst the Vaishnavas what the scripture actually means and apply it, but the meaning is there in the scripture. To consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. Again, if you feel that there's something else needed besides chanting Hare Krishna, in other words, if you feel that we need some other ritualistic activities besides chanting Hare Krishna, then that's an offense. In this Kali Yuga, we've been given a very simple process. In other ages, they practiced temple worship. There were so many things that they had to do. And gradually they helped people to rise up. In another age, they worshiped by performing yajñas and also following so many practices for householders and so many practices for this ashram and that ashram. And everything was important. There were dozens and hundreds of rules to be followed, and all of them were very important. But in Kali Yuga, there's only one important thing, because we have no capacity to. We need something very simple that will purify us, and that's chanting Hare Krishna. That's the benefit. And even though the process has been made simple, still people can't have faith in it. Still people can't follow it very well. So it's not that it's that simple. It's simple, but still, only a small, fortunate group of people can take it. So this is definitely a dark age, Kali Yuga. And we should know that by chanting, nicely, Maha Mantra, Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. All can be done. We can go back to Godhead in this very lifetime by chanting Hare Krishna. If you want to know how you can advance, if you have any problem in spiritual life, you may need someone to sit down and talk to you about this aspect and that aspect and to encourage you. But if you can do that, and you should do that, that's part of association. But really all you need to do is chant your rounds nicely. Pray to the holy name, and the holy name can give you all the answers you need. To give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord, just chant Hare Krishna, and think, I am Krishna, I am Krishna, I am Krishna. I did that when I first came. I thought chanting Hare Krishna was a way of becoming Krishna. You chant Krishna until you become Krishna. Actually, there was one popular American hippie who had gone to India and got a guru and became known as Ram Dass. So he wrote one book called Be Here Now. And he gave the definition of bhakti that you love the loved until you become the loved. Don't give interpretation like that. To commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name of the Lord, it's obvious. Don't engage in this hati snan business. If you chant Hare Krishna and accidentally you fall down, you lose control of your senses, then it will slow down the benefit, the process of your chanting. Don't, you know, think that chanting is just like some people, they worship their guru and they think that he has taken all our sins so we can do anything we like. And Srila Prabhupada compared that to using that guru as a doormat where you wipe your feet out before you go in the house. So you just commit all the sinful activities you want, and then afterwards you say, thank you, Lord, for being so merciful. Now you have to consciously give up your sinful activities. To consider the chanting of Hare Krishna one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruit of activities, karma, conduct. No. It's not, it's special for this age, it's outside of the Vedas, Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna, the Vedas, Tri-Veda, Vishaya-Veda, Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. The Vedas deal with the three modes of material nature, Trigunya. So, if you think that chanting Hare Krishna is just another Vedic ritualistic principle, then it's not going to elevate you above the modes of material nature. Chanting Hare Krishna is a transcendental process. To instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name, we're meeting so many faithless persons. And the tendency will be to want to impress them that what we're doing is very wonderful and we're actually quite bright and we're intelligent, and just because we shave our heads and wear funny clothes, we're actually brilliant, and just see our philosophy, gopis and you know, this and that. And preach from your realization. Preach analyzing what a person needs to hear to help them make a little advancement. Preach in a simple way. There's no need to go deep into deep, deep, complicated philosophy with someone who really doesn't understand ABC. So don't, you know, just for the purpose of impressing people, talk about things that Lord Chaitanya would hardly discuss with his topmost devotees. For the mass of people, he simply engaged in Harinam and Prasadam distribution. And believe it or not, people were attracted by Harinam and Prasadam distribution. It's a fact. It's very wonderful. And everybody likes kirtan. And everybody likes prasadam. If you present to them nicely, they'll take it and enjoy it in your preaching. And be satisfied with that. 10, to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and maintain material attachments even after understanding some instructions in this matter. So, it's an offense to not have complete faith, but that's the idea too. We may be in the offensive stage, but now, by taking initiation and by chanting sincerely, we should clear the offenses. Then we'll come to the transcendental platform. We may commit offenses while chanting, but, you know, keep trying. We cannot change what Srila Prabhupada gave us in any way. And we have to try our best to follow. And we will follow someday if we keep trying. But if we quit just at the first time when we have a little difficulty, then it'll get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. So that doesn't mean that you should be, if from day one you can follow everything nicely, do it. It's to your benefit. There's so much benefit there. When you commit offenses, you get a reaction. Just like taking medicine, I know. I've got this horrible routine of taking 10 million pills a day. And, okay, I have to do it. It's a sadhana. And some days, I lose it. I lose control. I just have a big feast of pizza. I know I'm going to get a reaction. What to do? Then the next day, I get back into it. And gradually, my health is getting better. If I follow perfectly, I get a better result. I know. If I do something wrong, I'm going to be sorry for it, and gradually I'll learn. Gradually I will learn. And gradually, if you can follow from the beginning, it's very best. And another thing also, that, as I said, from first initiation, from the very beginning, the spiritual master is taking your karma. It's a very real thing. And be merciful. Don't give your spiritual master too much karma. Be merciful. Try to follow. If you follow his instructions, then you'll be happy, he'll be happy, Krishna will be happy, the whole world will be happy. So, I'm very, very pleased that the devotees being initiated today have basically come from the congregation and they've made significant advancement over the last couple of years that I've known them, and they're sincerely trying, and I'm so happy. I think that Prabhupada would be so pleased. So I'm prepared to enter into this contract. You have to sign here. The dotted line. Actually, I made someone sign. Yeah.